recently. Ever since it happened, I've been getting emails about Fukushima. And first one person, then another, comes out with a YouTube video about Fukushima. And there are people who are saying, well, this thing was caused by HAARP. And then there are people that are saying it wasn't caused by HAARP. It was caused by planted nuclear devices in the fault line, drilled into the fault line, that magnified the tsunami. There are people that are saying that this is all natural, that it's very tragic, but it's an all-natural event. There are people also who are out there on the internet and saying that this was a Illuminati attack against Japan. And the latest story is because they say that Japan had agreed to enrich uranium for Iran, and that's what caused this. This was a targeted attack on Japan. Now, all of these are interesting, and I am not one of those people that says, well, if it's not true, you need to just shut up and don't say it. I believe in freedom of speech, and it's up to us to weed through what gets spoken and to come up with what we can about what is true. But Fukushima is dire. It's not over just because CNN has moved on to the latest Lindsay Lohan debacle. It's not over just because MSNBC or, what is it, Fox on Fire, Fox News, or CBS or NBC or, it's not just because they've moved on to, Britney's latest love interest. That doesn't mean that this Fukushima thing is over. It's not over. It is still a developing, dire situation. And what has happened, and this is what I talked with you about earlier today and told you I was going to bring up. What has happened that has caused the latest round of emails to come to me is that Benjamin Fulford released a video. It's out there in various places. You can see it. I think the place I saw it was YouTube, but it's probably at Disclosed TV. It's probably elsewhere. But this video, Benjamin Fulford makes some really, really specific charges about who did Fukushima. And he names names, and he really, really went out on the front edge of the front bumper on this one. Unfortunately, Ben Fulford in this one, with his method and his mannerisms, was very, very unbelievable. And the reason I say he's unbelievable, and remember, I'm not into belief, but it does intrude sometimes where it doesn't belong. The reason I say that he was unbelievable is because whenever you're going to tell something that is so out there that, even if it's true, but it's so out there that when people hear it, they're going to say, that can't possibly be true. Just the information by itself is going to cause that reaction. Well, if you want at all to get people to pay attention to it, you really have to step down and be very, very calm in how you present that information, because it's going to rattle cages all by itself. But if you don't, if you sort of rant, well, at that point, people think you're having a meltdown yourself. And so that's some of the email that I got. I got some email from people who said, take a look at this. Don't know if it's true or not. Looks like Fulford's having his own meltdown. But here's the question. The question is the information he presents. Forget the emotions. Forget the beliefs. The information. Is it even possibly true? So, Dave, I don't know. Have you had a chance to familiarize yourself with Fulford's claims?
I've had several people tell me about them. But I've done a lot of research this afternoon, thanks to help with some of my helpers. And God love every one of them, because I can't do this show without them. But I found several articles. One is mutations in bacteria induced by radiations from the Cold Spring Harbor synopsis on quantitative biology.
Okay.
And if I can read an excerpt, it said, although direct genetic tests that might prove the occurrence of mutations in bacteria cannot be made, it seems reasonable to assume from the accumulated indirect evidence that in this group of microorganisms, changes that are compatible to mutations in higher organisms do occur. As might be expected, such changes affect a great variety of characteristics. In fact, mutants have been found representing all types of character which the search has been made. For illustrations of a wide variety of bacterial mutants, we do not have to go beyond the papers presented in this symposium, where we have heard discussions of mutations affecting color by Bunting, enzymatic systems by L. Wolf, biochemical characteristics by Tatum, and resistant phages, drugs, and antibiotics by Luria. So that mutations in bacteria by radiation does not seem too far of the realm of real possibilities.
Well, in fact, one of the things that's being reported now is expectation that one of the effects of the radiation from Fukushima will be bacteria that mutates to a form that is highly resistant, if not entirely resistant, to antibiotics. And that would be rather destructive to human life.
I absolutely agree with that one.
One of the stories that's out there is that HARP was used to trigger this for the reason that Japan had agreed to enrich uranium for Iran. And one of the stories that's out there is that it wasn't HARP, but that there were nuclear devices put into the fault zone and then triggered to cause this to happen. And I've heard some others. But let's kind of take these and grade them a little bit. You're former military, and you're part of the Super Soldier program. So let's deal with speculative stuff first, and then we'll move to what we can say that we do know. First of all, speculatively, are those scenarios, using HARP or planting nuclear devices in the fault line, are they even feasible? Could it actually be done?
Yes, it could, and I don't see why not, because there was one report I read that just before the tsunami that hit I forget where in the Far East, that before that happened, they recorded a heavy explosion right on the fault line that runs underneath one of the fault lines underneath the Pacific Ocean. Now, that being said, most people don't understand this, but to me, what I have been able to read and find out is the government has technology at least 1,000 years ahead of what they're talking about.
1,000 years?
That's... Yes, I have to say I have to agree somewhat with that. Because if you want to know what's going on, look at your science fiction movies. Like, well, Avatar. I mean, that's something they're doing already. They've been doing for a long time.
All right. It's not a surprise to me at all if we were to find that the true state of technology is like 100 years ahead, but 1,000 years ahead, I'm not saying I don't buy it. I'm just saying that's kind of a shocker to me. Because if the true state of technology is 1,000 years ahead, then it's very likely that they already have teleportation down. It's very likely that they already have travel between stars solved. Are you saying that's feasible?
Yes, because February 9th, I'm having two very special guests on my show, Alfred LeBremont Weber and Laura Magdalene Eisenhower, and they're going to talk about Mars and the stargates they went, that Laura went through. And I have no reason to doubt her word because I know her personally. I've sat and talked with her for quite a spell on more than one occasion. And come on, they had it in the science fiction movie Stargate.
Well, I don't have any reason to doubt her either. I know her personally and have talked with her, and she's quite a very nice lady and also rather brilliant. So I don't have any reason really to doubt anything that she says. All right, let's go back to this Fukushima thing. And let me tell you, folks, those of you who are watching, and if you're not, you could be, just join, during this next break, you're going to see footage that was taken from the ground as the tsunami. You know, we always see it from the air. This is taken from the ground as the tsunami washed into town at Fukushima. And even the cameraman has to run. It's rather dramatic and pretty heart-wrenching. But here's the deal. I want to go back to Fukushima because what happened there did not happen just to those people. It happened to the whole world. It's affecting the whole world. That radiation, where do you think that goes, folks? It's going into the ocean, and it's going into the air. And what do you think that's doing for the ocean and the air? And you don't think the air just sits there and stays stable over Japan, do you? No, it blows this direction. It comes right over the United States. And eventually it makes its way around the world. What I was talking about, it is fearsome, it is awesome, it is awful. We think about it in terms of those aerial shots that we saw, and we forget that on the ground people were dying. Well, now though, all of this is going into the ocean, it's going into the air, that air and water are moving around the world. Articles are now coming out telling us about the possibility of bacteria mutating. And, we started off by saying, you know, is it possible, these scenarios that people on the Internet have been talking about with, you know, being caused by HARP or being caused by intentional nuclear blast devices that were planted and then detonated. All right, let's talk about what we can know for sure. I mean, you said it's possible, it's feasible, it could be done technologically. All right, let's talk about what we know and don't know. Part of that scenario is that it was in response to, and it's implied, all of these scenarios imply that it was the U.S. that did it. There is a scenario that implies that Israel did it. But they're all hinged on this thing that Japan had agreed to enrich uranium for Iran. And I've looked for, I mean, I found lots of places where people are saying that, but I've looked for confirmation, you know, information that actually would confirm that Iran and Japan had a deal. Do you know of any? I couldn't find any.
I researched that subject myself, and I could not find anything that would actually validate that outside of, quote, what people said, unquote.
Now, you know, before I go any further, let me say that means it could be true, but there is no reason to think that it's true at this point.
And I absolutely agree with that, too.
I find it very difficult to think that Japan would enter into an agreement like that with Iran. It's not impossible, but I find it very difficult to think that they would do that. It would not, to the best of my knowledge, it doesn't appear that it would be in Japan's best interest to do that. And nations, you know, nations don't have friends. Nations have partners in deals. That's it. They have allies, but they don't have friends, because each nation acts in its own best interest. So if Japan entered into a deal like this with Iran, I fail to see what would be in their interest. Can you think of anything?
Not a thing.
All right. So we have to assume that on the one hand, it could be true that perhaps they were in a deal like this. And yet, on the other hand, there is no evidence that either of us knows about that would tip us towards confirming that that is the truth. All right, so let's then assume that that's not true. Let's assume that Japan did not have a deal with Iran. What could be the reason, the motive behind any nation setting off this earthquake and tsunami? What do you think, Dave? What would be the motive for any other nation to do that?
Well, let's face it. When you have a government who builds fear into everything they say, and then they back it up with false flag operations of one sort or another, would anything surprise you?
Well, I assume that we're talking about the U.S. government here.
U.S. government, Israel, England. I mean, they have HAARPs in Alaska, Norway, I believe Sweden, Australia, China, and Russia.
And
I know of.
Yeah, China and Russia both have them. So, you know, they are everywhere. I mean, they're all over the world. Every major power has them. And in fact, the biggest one is in Norway. That's the biggest one. HAARP itself is not the biggest one. The biggest one is in Norway. But the first one was Russia. They are the ones who built the first one. So you take all of those governments that you just mentioned that have HAARP technology, and which of those would have a motive for setting off an earthquake like that next to Japan?
My understanding of that situation is this. I believe it's the United States. The corporate United States of America.
Okay, and why?
Because we are so far in debt to other nations that for President of the corporate United States, Barack Obama, to continue his march to socialism, which we're on and so far down the road, we may never recover, unless there's a revolution, that this was used as part of coercion, for lack of a better descriptive term, to get the rest of the world to fall into line to what the corporate United States wants.
Well, if that was the plan, it doesn't appear to have worked well. Ahmadinejad is still thumbing his nose at the United States. China's still saying, if you go to war with Iran, we're on Iran's side. Russia is saying, if you go to war with Iran, we're on Iran's side. So if it was designed to make everybody march to our drumbeat, it was a colossal failure.
I agree with that as well. But also, take a look at who the corporate United States government has backed for the last 40 years. People who I would term are the bad guys. They've never backed a legitimate, honest person that I have ever been able to find.
Well, you know, I'll say this too. When they set up a little dictator somewhere, you know, all those guys that accept being set up as the dictator somewhere need to look at what happens when the U.S. decides they're going to fire him. It gets rough, and most of the time they wind up dead. But okay, I'm going to play the devil's advocate here. This has nothing to do with what do I believe or disbelieve, because I don't even get into the believe and disbelieve game. This is just the other side of the fence. What could the United States possibly gain by setting off this earthquake, other than, okay, we proved we can do it and everybody else needs to kneel down? What would be the other side of that? In other words, okay, so everybody kneels down. Then what does that mean? What do we get?
What do we get? Let's look at what we have right now. We have extreme radiation that's being found up in Alaska, where they're finding fish that have what look like radiation burns. They're finding seals dead from what looks like radiation burns. And I have read articles that say that the radiation count in the air over the United States is thousands of times higher than what could be normally expected.
Okay, I understand that. I think you misunderstand what I'm asking.
Ask me again then.
Okay. If the United States, according to the scenario that you laid out, if the United States is the actor, if the United States is who did this, and the purpose was to get everybody else in the world to kneel down and say, oh, we don't want to mess with the U.S., okay, then once they kneel down and say, okay, we don't want to mess with the U.S., what do we get out of that? How does that help us?
It doesn't.
So,
I see one main reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
Too many countries, small countries, larger countries around the world are saying, America is a bad guy. We don't want nothing to do with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they talk about us like they used to talk about the Soviet Union.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, right now they're having trouble on Okinawa because they want to move a Marine base.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to allow them to do it. So America is highly incensed at this.
Mm-hmm.
Not the American people, the politicians that think they run the world.
Okay, so you would destroy, again, playing the devil's advocate, are you saying then that they would destroy a major portion of Japan? They're going to make it's a major portion of Japan is going to become unlivable if the whole place doesn't become unlivable. So a major portion of Japan gets destroyed, hundreds of thousands of lives lost, both in the immediate destruction of the tsunami and then the follow-on as a result of the radiation. And then you're going to endanger the homeland of the United States, with the radiation coming in both by water and air over the United States, the air over the United States, that doesn't seem like very good planning. That doesn't seem like, those seem to be reasons why they would say, okay, we can't do that.
What are the NWO, the New World Order, plans for reducing the population of the Earth? 90% gone, so the wicked 9% of slaves can take care of the worthy 1%. That's my understanding of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's also my understanding that they are perturbed because things aren't going the way they wanted. When you're a dictator, things don't go the way they want you to do. What you do, you do a couple things. You can clamp down on anybody, which they're slowly here in the United States.
Oh, I would say very rapidly.
Very rapidly, with this NDAA effectively shreds what comes with the Constitution and the Bill of Rights.
Yes.
But, in addition to that, if you want to get rid of the people's population and make it look natural, how do we have them die of something called cancer caused by radiation? Oh, we didn't know we'd do that. Well, look what happened to the food. The food that's coming out of the Gulf of Mexico, that's what, 10,000 times or 7,000 times the allowable limit for radiation.
We're talking about this whole Fukushima thing. And I wanted Dave to come on and talk with me about this because of his background. And, his background being, very esoteric things within the U.S. government and the military. We're talking about some theories that people are putting out on the Internet and have been now for quite some time that are, I think, very esoteric theories about what happened. And that doesn't mean they're wrong. It just means we're examining the information minus all of the hype and emotion and trying to come to some kind of determination about, how much of the information is true. Dave, last night I had Brooks Agnew on the show. The day before, on Sunday, I had been his guest. And on his show, now, he said on his show that Fukushima, the actual earthquake, was not an 8.9 or 9.0 earthquake, that it was, I forget what he said, 5.9 or 6 something, was not a gigantic earthquake. And then there was this explosion that set off the tsunami. And I asked him, I said, how sure are you about that information? And he said, I'm pretty doggone sure about it. It's pretty well documented. But I didn't have time to examine that I was a guest on his show, so I didn't have time to question him more about it. And I haven't seen the documentation. Have you?
No, I haven't.
Had you ever heard this before?
No, not that particular event.
Yeah. And that sort of is yet another stick on the fire that we're calling Fukushima. Okay, now you were talking about the New World Order plans to reduce the population. And let me say that whether this is part of a New World Order operation, or whether it's part of our Illuminati, or whether it's part of just deep, dark, secret U.S. government operation, or somebody else's, some other nation's deep, dark, secret operation. Either way, any way you slice it, the effect of this is a lot of people are going to get sick and die as a result of this. And it is ongoing. It is not getting better. It is an ongoing, growing disaster. Regardless of whether it fits any of those scenarios and whether any of those scenarios are true, The effect is that a lot of population is going to get sick and die worldwide as a result of this. Are you aware of the fact that at the moment, and this is pretty interesting, at the moment of that earthquake, whether it was natural or whether it was boosted by atomic blasts or whatever, the moment of that earthquake, big portions of Antarctica split off the ice shelves, and new huge icebergs were formed as a result of that earthquake. Did you know that?
I was aware of that, yes.
Yeah. So this was not this is not a little event. This is huge. And it's an event that at the instant it happened, it shook the world literally. And you know what I wonder though, if at that moment, if it was strong enough that it caused icebergs to split off the ice shelf in Antarctica, why didn't we feel it over here? Why didn't we feel the ripples of that over here? What do you think?
Interesting question. Because that goes back to what a lot of people have thought about HARP actually triggering the earthquake. Because HARP is very directional. But as to why, if they aimed it at Japan, it caused icebergs to fall off, to form from ice sheets falling into the ocean, that I haven't heard.
Now, do you know if, can we confirm that HARP was active and was transmitting at the time of this earthquake?
Yeah, because there's a HARP site. I don't have the URL here right now. Maybe someone can throw it in my chat room. But it showed just at the time of Fukushima, the HARP was really busy.
Mm-hmm.
Because people record the frequencies and the signal strength coming out of the HARP up in Alaska.
Okay, now in doing that, are they able to tell where HARP is focused?
I don't think so.
They can just tell that it's transmitting and that there's activity.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they noticed the same thing when they had the earthquake in Haiti. That at the time of the earthquake in Haiti, HARP was going really very strong. So can HARP trigger earthquakes from what I've seen? I absolutely believe it can. And if I'm wrong, and someone has verifiable evidence to prove I'm wrong, show me.
All right. Let's go back to Fukushima, and let me ask you, now we've talked about various scenarios for how it could have been triggered, and you've said, yes, that's technologically feasible. So what do you think? Do you think it was triggered, and if so, by which means? Was it triggered by nuclear blast, or was it triggered by HARP?
It could have been both. Because with the amount of damage that was done in a relatively small area.
Yeah, it looks like it was focused.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, in the earthquake that hit a couple of years ago, hit south in the Far East, think of the name of the place right now.
It was in the Indian Ocean, and about 250,000 people died.
Yeah. It's one of the beauties of having PTSD. I get words in my head, but I can't get them to my tongue.
Okay, so, but now, and again, back to Japan. If Japan had this arrangement with Iran, which I haven't been able to find anything that corroborates those stories, it doesn't mean they're false. It means I can't find anything other than the people that are saying this. I mean, you can find them saying it, but finding corroborative information about it I can't. I have not found any. But if Japan did have this deal with Iran to enrich uranium, it's my understanding that would have been a violation of United Nations sanctions against Iran, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would have been.
And it certainly would have been a slap in the face for their whatever treaties they have with the United States. But I think it would be a slap in the face for their whatever treaties they have with most Western nations.
I agree with that. And why would they do something dumb like that when you have all these, like you say, they have all these treaties you've signed with people that say you won't do things like that?
Yeah, so that's what makes it a little difficult for me to understand. I mean, that part of the stories, I'm pretty much putting that in the basket that says, nah, that didn't happen. I could be wrong about that, folks. I could be absolutely wrong about that. But at this point, I'm putting that in the basket that says that part of the story isn't true, or at least we cannot verify any of that. And that brings that mystery up again. Okay, if it wasn't something like that, there had to be some other big bad reason that would cause a major power to aim at Japan and set off this earthquake. Any major power, whether it was the United States or China or Russia or Norway, whoever, I mean, it would have to be some big bad reason to make them do that. Any ideas?
What about the possibility of them using Japan as an example, because every nuclear power plant around the world is built on fault lines?
Just when you think the theories have sort of run their course, another one comes up, or a variation on one comes up, and it just kind of boils over again. And that has happened, and I've been getting email about it. So we're talking about what are the possibilities. Now, as we were going to break, Dave, you were saying, what if someone decided to use Japan as an example? Okay, an example of what?
Example of what could happen to your country if your country doesn't do what we want. The bully on the block syndrome.
Okay, you seem to be pretty attuned with that. I mean, that seems to be kind of what you think is the case. Am I correct?
That's absolutely correct. And if I'm wrong, I have yet to find anything to prove me wrong.
Well, yeah, but, you know, we've already proved, I think, with Hiroshima and Nagasaki during World War II, we certainly proved the point to Japan and to the world that we could be the bully on the block. And look, those of you who think we did the right thing, don't take that as me saying we did the wrong thing. I was not alive then. I don't know whether we did the right thing or the wrong thing there. But the effect of it was that it proved to everybody that we had the capability and would use it. And you think we needed to prove it again? Is that what you're saying?
I think in a way that made it look like nature did it.
Okay, if it looks like nature did it, then how does that set an example to the rest of the world that we are the bully on the block? If it doesn't look like we did it, then how does it send a message?
Oh, I think there's diplomatic channels that they talk through that we don't know about, or supposedly don't know about. But let me bring something to your attention. I had a gentleman on my show about a month ago named Douglas Dietrich. And he worked for a time for the Department of Defense. And his job was to shred evidence, papers, that showed things.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about one set of papers that he had to shred that talked about Japan having nuclear weapons before World War II started, and bombers that could deliver them here to the United States. But they said, if we do that, what are we going to do? Now, that just, I have to believe that he's speaking the truth from where he stands. But if that, in fact, is true, why did we bomb Hiroshima? Because we knew they wouldn't attack. But also, I also found out through the same gentleman, Douglas Dietrich, and the archives are up on wolfspiritradio.com/main/archives, radio archives, I think it's called, that World War II really wasn't officially over until 1953. And the treaty they signed on the USS Missouri, which happens to be a battle wagon, the American flag only had, I think, 36 stars on it. I have to go back and look at that video again. But we went from the Department of War to the Department of Defense. We've never declared a war since then. And how many countries have we, quote, invaded, unquote? Something like 92. And we have a government that's run by another country out of the Mideast. I'm not going to mention the name of the country because it causes problems for people. But if you read a lot of the websites around the world, they say the same thing. We're a slave to a small country because they control our Congress. And as far as I'm concerned, this corporate president of the United States, when you look at his history, there is none. It's all been eradicated or hidden.
So
and why is that?
How does that play into the Fukushima scenarios? What role does all of that play in Fukushima?
When you look at what's happened in the past, and you never go by what a politician says, you go by what they do. They have said many things to get them elected, but what happens? They do exactly the opposite. There are too many things about Fukushima that add up in one way and don't add up in another. If, in fact, they use it as an example, they're poisoning the rest of the world in the process. To my line of thinking, that plays hand in hand with what the New World Order wants to do, is get rid of 90% of the world's population. And why Japan? I'm trying to recall an article I read about someone who wrote about that article. And if I can find it, I'll send it to you later on, because I'm not on the right computer. I'm on my show computer.
Well, what does this article say?
As I recall, and I can't vouch for exactly what it, Japan was used as an example because of something they wanted to do, and I can't remember exactly what the whole article was about.
Mm. Well, I will have to say that, Brooks Agnew said that the initial earthquake was way less than 9, and I forget now what he said. It was like 6.9 or 5.9, something like that. Coming from Brooks Agnew, and I ask him, how sure are you about this information? And he said, pretty darn certain. He said, close to 100%. I would have to say that, coming from him and him saying that publicly out on the air, I would say there must be good documentation for that, for him to have said it. At least I am at this point assuming that. And then saying that the tsunami was created by the nuclear blast that boosted it. And all of that, he said he was pretty darn certain about it, that the documentation on it was pretty solid. So having had him say that, I would say that the probability that this earthquake was natural, it seems to be, the probability seems to be getting slimmer and slimmer. And as more information comes out, do you think, when we talk about the Illuminati, I mean, just based on what you're saying about them and about the present government of the United States of America, do you think that's one and the same?
I think it's all part of the same game.
Okay, and elaborate on that.
There is a game that's being played with people, particularly by politicians. They'll say one thing and do something exactly opposite.
Yeah, but they've been doing that our whole lives.
People are finally starting to wake up to that fact.
Okay.
Which in and of itself is interesting because, granted, there are masses, millions and millions of what we call sheeples who like to watch TV, like to watch movies, like to watch sports, drink their beer, and watch mainstream media news. And there's a number of reasons for that. And one is the effective dumbing down of the American population through the, quote, public schools, unquote. But I am of the belief that many of the things that the NWO and the Illuminati, whoever you want to call them, we call them the bad guys, want to do, is being thwarted. Now, why is it being thwarted and by whom? Don't know, but I know a lot of things that they're trying to do aren't coming to pass. And if you take a country like Japan, which wasn't a threat to anyone, that now says they ought to have nuclear weapons, which they had, I guess, before World War II, according to Douglas Dietrich, it makes me wonder, what was the real reason? Could it be because they want to go off, they don't want to use the American dollar as a symbol of trade anymore? I am not really sure about that, Kevin. But for whatever reason, it happened. It's like the earthquakes that are happening up and down the Mississippi River with the, what's the name of that fault?
New Madrid.
The New Madrid fault. And now they're saying that they should stop all fracking because fracking is causing earthquakes, which I find interesting. Could you use a nuclear weapon as a massive fracker? Sure.
Okay. Now, I'm curious. What is there in these stories about the New World Order and the... and again, I'm playing devil's advocate. I mean, you know me. I'm asking because I want the answers out on the air. I want people to hear what you've got to say here. So I'm asking the question, what is there about all these stories about the New World Order, the Illuminati, their plans to depopulate the planet and all that? What is there that says to Dave Corso, this is true?
Gut hunch? Because right now I'm looking at an article that was sent to me by someone in the chat room. I'm trying to read what they say.
Well, let's read it later. We'll let's just focus on the show here and get the information out here to people. What is there that says?
I just read a thing where it said it was. No, that was the Earth. That was a scale. It doesn't talk about what the thing was.
Okay, let's focus on the show. What is there that says to Dave Corso, Dave, the New World Order is in charge in Washington, D.C. They did this thing at Fukushima through Washington, D.C., through the politicians. They did this, and it was to send a message to the world, or at least a message to Japan. What is there that says to Dave Corso, that's true?
Bits and pieces of information I've gathered that I find, I can't find any reason to not believe it. And just a lot of little things like that.
Do you think that, are you of the opinion then that the basic core the basic core motives of our government are definitely not in the best interest of humanity? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. They're, because if the people themselves were number one on the government's priority list, we wouldn't have all these nasty bills being pushed through Congress, would we? That politicians conveniently exempt themselves from.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's pretty curious. You know, it's supposed to be a representative republic, a representative form of government. And it's absolutely clear that when they get ready to pass a bill, they absolutely do not give a rat's ass what the public thinks. They are going to pass whatever they want to pass, and they what the rest of us think about it really doesn't matter to them. But I mean, I agree that that's going on, and that's quite clear. That's absolutely crystal clear. And you know, they, if they think that the public doesn't see it, well, they're stupider than I thought they were. The public does see it. The question, though, is how can, it's one thing to deal with a dumbed-down population of mushrooms, and we do have that. We have the least informed people on the planet are called American citizens. They are truly the least informed about what's going on worldwide. And that's not, folks, I'm not saying that to get you angry and to make you think I don't like America and I don't like Americans. I do. I love this country. But I've been around the world, and I'm telling you, villagers in what you call third world countries know more about what's happening in this world than most Americans know. And that is because of lamestream media, and it's because of the dumbing down that Dave Corso has talked to us about here. And it's because Americans are, in great, great, great majority, Americans are mushrooms. They sit in the dark and feast on a steady stream of manure, and they're content to do so. And so they're not informed. But having said that, it's one thing for our government to deal with a population of mushrooms. It's another thing for our government to have to deal with the political and geopolitical and global fallout of taking an action like doing Fukushima. See, I would think if they did Fukushima, And it was done to set an example to the rest of the world. And to say to the rest of the world, don't mess with us. Japan was doing this or that that was messing with us. Don't mess with us. Okay, if that's what happened, I would think China would say, hey, you know what? We're not Japan. Try this on for size and don't mess with us. And listen, China, there are more geniuses in China than there is population in this country. And anybody that thinks that China is backward is grossly misinformed. China is not backward. And well, let me tell you, if you don't know, every military satellite we have has the core components of that satellite were manufactured in China. All of the major high-tech electronics in this country depend upon high-tech electronics circuits from China. Our military, all those smart weapons and drones and all that stuff, the key components were made in China.
That is true. Sad but true.
So if China got wind that we did Fukushima, what they could do to us is greater, I think, than what we could do. Because China makes the stuff that makes our stuff work.
And it's interesting that General Electric, who makes most of the X-ray machines, they're getting ready to build all of their X-ray machines in China.
Yeah, you just kind of faded away from the microphone there. We didn't hear all of that.
I don't know why I did. You know, I was right close to the mic.
Yeah. Okay. So my point is, if this was actually not a natural event, if this, and that may be the case, if this was not a natural event, if it was a manufactured event, it would seem to me that China is in a position to say, you know what, we're not going to let you do that. I mean, you did it, but we're not going to let you get away with it. That was an act of war. That was an act of genocide. We're not going to let you do that. And I think they would respond, don't you?
Yes. Like so, I say, with the back doors they have, with top-level communications, how do we know they didn't?
Okay, in what way? How have
I haven't heard too much from China about this whole event. But I've heard a lot about it from sources here in the United States, ones you've heard of, maybe some you haven't heard of. People's thoughts, their conclusions, their conjecture, their perception of what happened.
So how has China retaliated?
I don't think they have yet.
But don't you think they would have?
Wait a minute. We sent China $800 billion worth of Ameros. China said, uh-uh. So we sent them $800 billion worth of gold-plated titanium plates. China said, uh-uh. China owns better than 45% of the mortgages in this country, which most people aren't aware of. And I understand they have several thousand crack troops stationed in Mexico. And when I was talking with Duncan O'Finian the other night, he has it on good authority there's over 1 million foreign troops stationed already in this country who have one job: seize the weapons, because the American hunting force is the largest standing army in the world.
All right, we're going to pick up right there when we come back. We are going to have to step away for a break here in about 8 seconds. Ladies and gentlemen, my guest this evening, David Corso, and he and I are talking about some pretty weird stuff. This Fukushima thing, I mean, this is an ongoing big deal. I know it's not being reported on here in the United States. Lamestream media has moved on to much more important things like Justin Bieber, Britney, Lindsay Lohan, you know, really Lady important Gaga. News. I'm sorry?
Lady Gaga.
Oh, yeah, Lady Gaga. But I understand they've moved on. But Fukushima didn't, and it is, you know, you think it's over, you think, oh, they got it under control. It is so far out of control, it'll never be under control, in my estimation. I don't think they're ever going to get it under control. They might, and I hope they do, but it's so far out of control that it's far, far worse than the Chernobyl incident. Large doses of radiation consistently, constantly, persistently being dumped into the ocean and into the air by this disaster. And this is huge. Well, on the internet, the whole thing about Fukushima has boiled over again, and people are talking about it again. Benjamin Fulford, a couple of weeks ago came out with this video where he's in really rare form and much of a rant about it. And what I said was, we're going to take a look at some of the things that he claims, minus the emotion, minus the beliefs, and just see what we can come up with. So that's what we're doing here with Dave Corso, former super soldier, currently a radio host. And I'm taking the position of sort of the devil's advocate on the other side of the other position and arguing the other position, just so we can sort of analyze this information. Dave is of the opinion that this was a manufactured event. This earthquake and tsunami were manufactured. And I asked just earlier if he thinks it was done with HAARP. And he said yes, but he said it could also have been, you know, boosted by some nuclear blasts underwater. And what I had brought up is, it's one thing, Dave, for the politicians in D.C. to manage and handle a nation of mushrooms. It's quite another thing for them to handle outrage from other governments. And I pointed out that China, and they would not be alone in this, if they knew that that's what we did, and, you know, your scenario is we did it as an example, to set an example to other nations, that we're the bully on the block, don't mess with us. Okay, if they got that message, they only could get that message if they knew we did it. And if they got that message, I would think China would be leading the bandwagon against the United States of America worldwide, big time, making a huge deal out of this, and could retaliate. They could take the position that America takes so often. America takes a position that some little tin can dictator is doing awful things, and we've got to put a stop to it. And so then they send our troops in there to liberate the people. Well, China could, they have the capability, and they could look at us like our government looks at tin can dictators. They could say, you're not going to get away with that. Bang. And they haven't done that. So I'm not sure that, I guess what I'm arguing is, I'm not sure that the we did it to set an example theory really holds up because of that. Other nations have not, either they didn't get the message, or we didn't send a message.
That's a good point, and I could be wrong. I could be barking up the wrong tree, so to speak. But that's my personal feeling from what I've been able to find out about all this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, and I'll be the first to admit I'm wrong.
Well, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm taking the other side.
I understand that, and I don't have a ready answer for that.
Okay, so let's explore this. Let's say you're right. And let's say the other nations did get the message. What would be the reason they haven't started retaliating against us?
Let me think about that for a second.
All right.
Because they have something else planned. That's one possibility that I see. Another possibility is that there are other countries that China's involved with that could have other plans for this place. Good Lord, Kevin, I really don't know.
All right, let's examine something else planned. What would you suspect could be the something else?
Might sound a little far-fetched, but maybe war against the United States, based on their terms.
Well, I don't think that's far-fetched at all. You know, there are people, I know for sure, there are people who think China wants to go to war with the United States. And ladies and gentlemen, if China, I mean, you got to realize their army is two-thirds, their standing army is two-thirds the size of our population. Our total adult population in the United States of America is not as big as their standing army.
And that's a big army.
Yeah, they got 200 million in their standing army. 200 million. Their geniuses outnumber the entire population of this country. If China wanted to roll on us, they could have done it. Now, that doesn't mean they could do it without incurring huge losses themselves, because even though those facts are in play, one fact that's in play as well is that the United States of America is one of the best trained and best armed, best equipped fighting forces on the planet, and certainly is not a pushover. So could they just roll over and squash us? Not exactly.
They would have to work at it.
They would have to work at it. But the point is, they have the means to work at it. And so if they had imperialistic and expansionist ideas and aspirations, they could have already done this. And they haven't done it. So I think China is the main reason that I have trouble with the idea that the U.S. did this Fukushima thing. I think China is the main reason I don't really buy into that theory, although I don't oppose it, because I can't prove it either way. But, you know, China's a huge factor.
Yes, they are.
The biggest factor. And like I say, you know, the United States government, they can convince the mushrooms in America, those who are mushrooms, they can convince them easily that the sky is pink. They can convince them that it's checkerboard. And they just go on TV and tell them it's checkerboard. And, well, you know, your eyes are, if you don't see it, your eyes need to be checked. Get down to your local FEMA doctor real quick. And people will line up, and, you know, at the FEMA doctor. And it's one thing to manage the mushrooms, but once you leave the shores of the United States of America, you don't find whole nations of mushrooms. And it's not so easy to manage the rest of the world. And I would think that there would be gigantic repercussions from the rest of the world if we did that. If we actually did it. And I find it... Now, let me say this, Dave. I don't have any problem whatsoever buying the fact that there are people that are within our government and within our military that are sociopathic enough and even psychopathic enough to dream up doing this. I mean, I think there are people that, you know, would be supportive of it. But I think you know, just based on the non-reaction of the rest of the world, that's pretty good evidence, I think, that they, if we did it, they did not get that message.
Hmm. You know, it's one of the reasons I like to listen to you when I have a minute or an hour or two.
Oh.
You bring up points that I haven't considered. And being on the show with you tonight, to me, is another lesson in my life that I would do well to emulate. Look at what's not happening. Yeah. How did they know that? Yeah. And I've tried to apply that in many things, but apparently I haven't applied it in this case.
Well, that may be, but we also have to be careful and say that my reasoning of why nothing has happened can be faulty, too. There may be good, maybe they got the message, maybe we did it, maybe they got the message, but there are reasons why they have not acted yet.
And that could well be, too.
Because, I'll tell you, if we did it, and if they got that message, then some reaction, really unpleasant reaction, has to be on the way.
I think you're right there.
And see, the thing is, just because this is another thing, Dave, about the Chinese. The Chinese don't do anything instantly.
No, they're patient and they think it through before they act.
Yeah. And once it's on for it's on for the long term. Yeah. This is one of the reasons their civilization is the oldest continuous civilization on the planet. They think it through. They're not impetuous. They think it through. They talk it through. They plan it through. And whatever it is they decide to do, you can bet that decision is the result of a very, very, very long process. And the implementation of that decision, whatever it may be, is long term. So that could be a reason why something hasn't happened yet. That's a possibility.
That's a real possibility. And you bring up so many points that I have never heard before that I'm sitting here kind of boggled.
So I appreciate you coming on tonight and talking with me about this Fukushima thing because, you know, with your background, I really felt that you would be the right person to bounce this stuff off of, and I kind of knew what your position was on this. I think we can safely say we have not solved the mystery, and I really didn't think we would. We have not solved the mystery of Fukushima and what caused it, and if somebody was behind it, who did it. But I think we both have brought up some good points here to consider on both sides of this. Now, since you were a guest on the show last time, you've started a radio station. So tell us a little bit about that. What's the name of the radio station?
It is www.wolfspiritradio.com. And I started it simply because I want to see the truth got out there. And I used to think the truth was this, that you could relate an event exactly as you saw it without adding to or taking from someone involved in that event to make them right or wrong. Since then, I've kind of modified that, and the truth is this, it depends upon where you're standing with your knowledge and experience and how you perceive that event. Now, do I agree with all of my hosts or all my guests? No, but I am not a judge, jury, and executioner. I want them to put their truth out as they see it.
Mm-hmm.
Do your own research. Follow your instincts. What else can I tell you? I mean,
we do the same thing. That is, we present the information. And then we ask questions, and it's up to everyone listening to do their own research about it. But, let me just make up a word here, a flammophlegy, okay? So, unless somebody comes on the air and tells you about flammophlegy and what is a flammophlegy, you don't even know to do the research.
Exactly right.
And so the purpose of having the guests on this show, and you're doing the same thing, following that same star, if you will, that we follow, the purpose is not to promote what they're saying. The purpose is for you to hear it, so it gives you some starting points for your own research, where you can come to your own decision about what you think is real and what you think is not real. And hopefully what we've done here tonight kind of shows you, we've sort of just, if we were musicians, David, if we were musicians, what we just did is a jam session. We just got together and jammed. You played your parts, and I played my parts, and, we played off of each other. The point is, we took this subject and we turned it around and looked at it from a lot of different points of view. And that's what this is about, folks. That's what alternative media should be about. And that's to get the information on the table. So if flammophlegies are part of the information, you at least know what a flammophlegy is, or at least you know it exists. And you can go look it up. So let me save you some time. As far as I know, there's no such thing as a flammophlegy. So that'll save you some time in research. As far as I know, that's totally made up. But you get the point. The point is to get the information on the table where at least you know some places to start researching and looking and studying for yourself. The mushrooms don't. Mushrooms don't. They just take what they hear and, oh, well, that's true. But I'm persuaded the people that listen to Dave's show and his radio station and the people that listen to my show are not mushrooms. You want information. That's why you tune in. What do you got coming up on your station, Dave? What's coming up?
Thursday night. Let me find my schedule. Ah, there it is. Let's see what I have coming up Thursday night. That was December. Oh, good Lord, I don't have this one filled out.
How many shows per week do you do?
I usually do 3 shows a week. Mm-hmm. Plus, on Wednesday from 5 to 7 p.m., I simulcast with a gentleman named Tom Hughes, who has the Great Turtle Island on Blog Talk Radio. He's a personal friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And he's had a lot of indigenous, native, shaman, and chiefs. So he's talking about how they're regaining their sovereignty. But February the 9th, I'm going to have a good show. I'm going to have Alfred LeBramont Weber and Laura Eisenhower on. And I'm not sure which Saturday I'm going to have Stuart and Janet Swerdlow on.
Mm-hmm. I haven't had Janet on, but I have had Stuart on, and he's a great guest. Great guest.
Yes, he has a radio show on my network, usually the last Sunday of the month, but because of his schedule, he's changed it around. And if people would like to get on my mailing list, you can send a request to pigradio2@air-internet.com, and that stands for Project Information Generation Radio 2. This is a second generation of Project Information Generation Radio, which was started by Jeremiah Duncan, and it got to where he couldn't handle it, asked me if I want to take it, and it's kind of developed into its own thing. And Kevin, you've had no small part in me being as good as I am, and I don't claim to be the best by any stretch of the imagination like you are.
Well, if we've been of any help, any assistance, then I'm glad for that. That's good. Again, I want to thank you for coming on and talking with me tonight about this Fukushima thing. It is a great mystery. I don't know. I guess life would be much simpler for me if I was just a person who believes, and then I wouldn't have to worry about analyzing all the facts. But I don't. I don't believe or disbelieve. I either know or I don't know. What I know is that Fukushima was an awful, awful event, and it isn't over. That's what I know. And I know that it's getting worse.
Now, there was an interesting article I found that says antibiotic-resistant bacteria from the Fukushima nuclear accident. And it talks about it. Pardon me. But their conclusion is this.
Okay, you're going to have to hurry because we're just about to the end here.
The researchers conclude there's no evidence to support concern that the Fukushima disaster may have bred antibiotic-resistant bacteria, but the scientists point out in their article they were forced to treat the bacteria with a one-time exposure of radiation. How bacteria might respond to the actual situation of sublethal exposure to radiation surrounding the power plant 3 years on is not known. Time will tell.
All right.